righty, we're back this week, so we're running these at a little faster clip than we have before. So the goal was always one a month, and one a month, you know, turned into like one every 6 weeks, I would say, and now we're making it happen every week. So here we are again. We're doing them Wednesdays. They're popping out Mondays. So this new room, it's going to be hopefully the next one. We've got our neon sign. It's going to start looking cool, and we can start looking at having some other guests. But Kate and I today are going to chat about what gets us stuck in unhealthy behaviors or even just thought patterns. And I think this is something that everyone will be able to relate to in some way, because we all battle these issues, and we have little neurotic things that whether we think about or do that don't serve us well. I certainly do, and have worked through a ton of that and then replaced those with other things later in life. You know, I had my issues in college that, you know, when I was young trying to like figure out life, that stifled me a lot, and was able to kind of solve some of those problems. And then as a grown-up, I've had other ones kind of come in and take their place, and I think it's a battle we'll all fight till the end. Yeah. But it's just getting into a better place, you know. I mean, this was your idea to talk about, so you're a little more comfortable talking about things like this than I am. So,
feelings.
Yeah.
Well, I really wanted to talk about this because it's something I see every day, whether it's in the gym, in classes, just talking to people, other members taking classes, but, you know, especially with my clients, because I get to know them on a deeper level. And it's something that keeps coming up, reoccurring behaviors. And Brandon, I know you've worked with a lot of members over the years where they have the same issues happen time and time again. Mm-hmm. And even if it's not the exact same issue, like you mentioned before, it will replace another behavior, another obsession, or another negative thought pattern with something else we've taken away. And I just think it plays a huge role in our health and our happiness. So, you know, what I really wanted to do today is for us to be vulnerable about some battles we've had in the past with reoccurring negative thought patterns that have affected our lives and that we're currently battling and having issues with. Because we still do, and we're human. And we're here to try to be a beacon of some sort for you guys, but we're also here to let you know we're human and we battle this. And we think that if we can share some of that with you, it might help you be more successful in working through some of your battles as well.
Yeah, I think... I think talking about your issues and especially talking about them out loud and what something you always say is kind of bringing it to light. Once you speak it into existence, it kind of kills its power. And I'll know that with me. I internalize everything. It's real hard for me to talk about it. And then it's not that bad once you actually can get those thoughts and those feelings out. Just like out into existence. So I've had, you know, I think it was, you wanted us to write some questions down to talk you know, I had a really like debilitating back injury, you know, about 12 years ago. And we'll probably talk about it a little later on, like how I was able to overcome it and kind of came out of that spot and was on fire after that, but it kind of came back. And I don't think it was through, it wasn't my back. It kind of came back this chronic pain feeling in my neck. Even had it like, you know, I had a pinched nerve and had like injections. And it wasn't until I was like talking about like the stressors and the feelings and the things in my life that I was, that was able to start to like slowly like dissipate and then finally just go all the way away. Like none of the treatments and things like that were helping. And the more I've learned about this stuff, it shows up in whether a lot of times with people who are exercisers will like put it onto an injury. It's able to take all our focus off of whatever we're dealing with inside and put it on an injury. With other people, it can be other things like GI issues. And when I was in college, after reading the book, that was something that I haven't dealt with like as an adult. I would call myself like an adult once I was out of college. But when I was in school, like in college, I had like, they have like names for it. I don't even know what is it like? I just had like tons of GI issues. I'd go to the bathroom multiple times.
IBS.
Things like that.
It's pretty broad.
Yeah. I had like tons of issues with that. And then that was gone. And then it turned into like pain things. And, you know, I'm legitimately getting injured, you know, sometimes doing this stuff, and these things would linger. And if it wasn't that, it would be, you know, people get psoriasis and different things, and, or, you know, diseases with these, it's just a set of symptoms that, you know.
And I just had something like that. So, I mean.
Yeah, you had a rash.
Yeah. And, yep. It was awful. I mean, it looked like I had chicken pox, but it's just stress.
It's the way your body expresses
it. Yeah. So and you made a good point. Like it's basically your body manifesting a pain that you're not willing to look at consciously.
Yep.
And men and women suffer from this. There's like, you know, maybe a little more gender kind of specific things that might happen, but women tend to have an easier time talking about their feelings. And even, I mean, I see that my children at such a very young age, our son's 6, and he has a really hard time, even if he's upset, saying why he is, or even just expressing that he's upset at all. He'll actually start laughing sometimes, just kind of like cover up for him being sad or his feelings hurt. And, you know, I don't think it has to be that way, but it's really tough to break these generational gender norms, whatever it might be. It's really hard to, and then even within your family, if you come from a family that doesn't like to talk about their feelings, it's really hard not to recreate that. So, it's almost easiest to look at your family dynamic and try to help to understand what's really going on inside of you to start to break down the mystery is, why are you in such pain? But that's tough stuff. So that's why we're here to talk about it, because it's a journey that we've been on, that we've really tried to dive into the last couple years is our mental wellness and really working on that. Throwing the kitchen sink at it, whether it be meditating or going, we both have a type of, she's almost become our therapist now, but like an intuitive healer, Reiki sessions, sound baths, see shaman, done past life regressions, like a lot of really neat things that we've done. Not that you have to do all of that, but if we can just get your mind thinking, if you're in some sort of chronic pain now and you can just start to almost separate yourself from that pain and start to look at what really matters. And that's what I've been really passionate about now, with myself and with my clients. Like when we're talking about, they're focused on maybe like how many grams of fat they need per day, but really I know they're just breaking down and binging every other day. That's not where we need to look. And we don't even need to keep talking about the binging. We need to talk about feelings that cause this, because that's why you're doing that. Like you're not binging on a bunch of like chocolate. I'm a binger, so I know. I do it in it. It almost doesn't matter what I'm eating. It's just the fact that I consume and numb, and that numbing feels good because it's another way for me to avoid the pain. So now that I'm not trying to do those behaviors and I've been more successful at it, now I see things pop up when I get stressed out. And it's almost like it's hard for me to deal with, you know, because I've had these behaviors that I would allow myself to do for years that are also harmful to me, but it keeps me from facing, you know, I was going to say demons, but it's not a good word. It's just facing whatever pain we're in, just facing the discomfort of that feeling, whatever that is.
Yeah, the things that are holding you back, just generally in life, or things you don't want to look at. It's oftentimes just things you're not wanting to look at or face or do. It can be as simple as, like, you know, you often talk, you know, you have nutrition clients, like, that put hard lines on, like, I'll never be someone who goes to bed at 9:30, or I'll never be someone who works out in a hotel gym when I'm traveling. I'll never be someone who can only eat diet food. They put those parameters on themselves, but it's because they're used to using these things like late night TV to numb themselves so they don't have to think about an issue, or food of certain types. Like, I deserve to be able to eat and or drink this on the weekend. Things like that. So it goes with everything. And then you can go on the other extreme where it's, you know, I have to work out 7 days, you know, you can take it the opposite way. I have to work out 7 days a week, twice a day, you know, and I'm in all kinds of pain. It's not good for my body. It's chronically inflamed and hurt. But you're running from something.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yep. And that's a great way to put it. And I've been there. You've been there. Mm-hmm. We've done probably both sides of the spectrum.
Sure.
And, you know, bounce back and forth and try to find this middle ground of how do you enjoy life? You know, and for each person that balance is different, and that balance needs to change all the time. But
it's a moving target.
Yes, yes. That's what we're trying to kind of determine for ourselves and figure out and you know, help you guys. It'll also help us to talk about and kind of, like, as I say, bring it all to the light.
Well, you want to get into, like, more, like, actionable things. Like, I think people are starting to wrap their head around, like, what we're getting at, but, like, take it more into, okay, so what do you mean by that? Like, what's your problem? What's your issue? Like for you, you know, you had told me to write some questions down, and, you know, for you, it had been, you know, it seems like body image was always, like, a thing that came up, and, like, again, that's something people wouldn't assume with you, like, most people, at least from where I'm sitting, you know, you're my wife and everything, like, you have a phenomenal body. You're in great shape. You've stayed in great shape for over 20 years, pretty much the entire time. Like, what do you have to worry about body image? Like, what is it about your body image and why, you know, why is it, do you think you have, like, an issue with that?
So, I mean, this one goes deep, so I hope you guys don't mind talking about mommy and daddy issues on here. But it you really, I think when we trace fears back, and fears, you know, like we were talking about in the last podcast, are irrational, right? Because it's not something that's actually happening. One of my biggest fears is to be overweight. My mom was overweight all throughout my childhood, but when she got married, she was not. And I just saw her really missing out on a lot of activities that she used to do. She used to hike. She used to be really active with my dad. And when it got to a point when I was pretty young, I remember going on a hike with my dad when I was 9. And I remember my brother was too little to go with us. He was like 5 and a half. And my brother and my mom walked maybe like a mile into the hike. And I remember them turning around. And for some reason, I just remember like the look on her face. And it was just like this look of like defeat. And, you know, I just know she didn't feel really good about herself. And she was a pretty happy person, but I think she could have been a lot happier and had a more full life if she wouldn't have battled that. And I'm not talking 20 pounds. I'm talking more like, you know, because everyone's probably thinking, oh, yeah, your mom's like 15 pounds overweight. And it's more like, you know, 75. And she still tries. And she still tries to be active. And I love her very dearly. But that was, she knows this as well. That was always one of my biggest fears is to be overweight. So much the fact that what I do right now is mainly because of that.
So let me just direct you a little bit in where you're going with this. So, you know, zoomed out, it did a lot of positive things for you. Like you got really into fitness and health and got really good at it. Like obviously good at it to the point where, you know, you've built this awesome business. You were one of Lifetime's, like you were their youngest hire, at the time, and then like one of the top 10 trainers in the country, and you know, moved up their corporate ladder as far as you wanted to go with it. And then, and you've done really well with just, you know, you've done like fitness shows and half marathons. You've had success in just doing fitness things in general, but that's also like, what issues has it caused you with like dieting and training? Because you coach people who are everywhere from, hey, I need to lose weight and I need to start my fitness journey, to a lot of people who are honestly in like your same sort of situation. They've been fit for a long time and then they're running into like, now their body's stubborn, or like they've ran into maybe some like behavior that's, you know, they've overdone it, or, you know, things like that. So like, what issues is that?
So I think the first one that I've really battled for the majority of my life, really from the time I was 16 till probably just a few years ago, is just feeling like I was in a prison cell. I couldn't live my life the way I wanted to unless I just gave up and said, okay, well, I can do this. I can enjoy life, but I want to gain 15 pounds. I want to gain 20 pounds. I either have to obsess or just succumb to the fact that I'm going to basically turn into my mom. Was always my biggest fear. I didn't think maybe I would go that far, but I just thought I couldn't be someone that could be moderate. So it's really just promoting that obsessive behavior, mainly with food. My issues are mainly with food. With exercise, I had to do like 2-a-days for the majority on and off of like 10 years doing fitness shows. And so I have no problem giving those up.
You've been really healthy with like your training and like,
yeah,
things like that, especially the last few years. I think the only thing that I saw that like I talked to you about like even more recently was when like approaching like a group fitness class or a CrossFit class, like especially now that we're getting into our 40s and stuff, like you don't have to run your head through a wall every time you do it.
Yeah.
Which you're, I mean, CrossFit, hey, you're going for points, you're going for time, you're going for things like that. But I'm like, you're like, I can only do CrossFit like 2 or 3 days a week at the most. And I'm like, yeah, the way you do it, because you're running at it like a open or a benchmark workout that you're testing once a year every time. I'm like, I'll try and do that once a week, and then the other ones, like I try and stay technical, and I'm trying, but I'm floating through the workout at a nice pace so I can do it often. And then you've done, like you've made that adjustment real fast.
And that's just since we got back from Tulum. That's a really tough one, and that was going to get that bring me to my second point is I think the reason why I do that is I just this feeling that it's never good enough. Whatever I do is just never good enough. If I did a fitness show, I'd feel really happy in the moment, but then afterwards I'm picking apart my body. It's never good enough. What I have to display is never good enough. If I'm running, I'll be happy at the time, but then I always go back, I always overanalyze, and I think anything in my life is not good enough. And I will choose my body image to pick on, whether I stand in front of the mirror and do that, or look back on pictures and obsess and do that. That's my go-to way to hurt myself. And I kind of grown to almost equate it to like someone like cutting themselves. Like that's symbolic of me trying to hurt myself by proving to myself that what I'm doing is not good enough. So if it's in a workout and I know that I can beat this time or I can beat that person, if I don't do it, I think what I've done for that day is not good enough. And that's just, you know, that's all ego wrapped in lots of threads of fear of, okay, well, what if you did just let yourself relax and actually enjoy workouts? Like when you're not on a clock, like when you go for a run on a beach or vacations, I really enjoy because I take all that pressure off myself. Well, hey, we're just here to maintain. I feel great in workouts. I'm not trying to kill myself. We're just moving your body in a healthy way. But when the clock goes off here and I kind of pride myself in being able to run my head through the wall if I want to, I can do that, but it's not healthy for me anymore. And I really feel that right now. I train with Dan once a week and I always show up and I'm like, fuck me up. Fuck me up today. What do you got for me? And he's like, how do you feel? And I'm always like, it doesn't matter. And a couple weeks ago, I said to him, I had just got back from the trip. I'm like, okay, you're going to think this is weird, but I don't think I need to be pushed like that anymore. I don't think my body likes me to go in and F myself up for the next 6 days. I don't think it's healthy for me physically. And I actually just feel like it's not healthy for me mentally. I almost feel like a bit of a depression after that. It's almost like a hangover, like a body hangover, you know, like when you go so hard, you just hardly want to move. And then I don't want to like even just walk to school to get my kid and or play with the kids. Like life activities that I'm going to be really upset that I don't do if I continue to do that. And it's hard when you're in it because, you know, I'll say, okay, well, I only do CrossFit 2 or 3 times a week. And I do this to offload all that extra stress on my body. On paper, what I'm doing looks okay, but I'm really trying to be intuitive. And I know it feels wrong. It feels wrong what I was doing. It didn't feel like I was in balance. So the body image thing, it's, you know, I've learned to like walk away from the mirror if I'm not saying nice things, but it crosses over into so much more. It's a self-love. And I think that's what all this comes down to. The core emotion, the core issue is it's a way to not accept yourself, to not love yourself, to not meet yourself where you're at. And ironically, even if you want to change, you have to meet yourself where you're at and then move forward and meet yourself with love. And, you know, that's, I'm trying to work on it now. And, you know, it's always a battle. We leave for Miami in a couple of days and we're going to be on a beach. The weather is warm. I'm going to be in a swimsuit and I want to feel good. And I'm trying to really talk to myself like, you look good. What you're doing is enough. Really, really hard. It's really hard to not, you know, always have these tests for myself to always judge whether I'm doing well or not. Because I do want to keep feeling good in life. I want to keep showing up and doing things that maybe, you know, maybe some other people our age don't. Maybe mm-hmm. they've given up on taking trips, you know, together or a girls' trip or just doing things independent of being parents, but I really want to keep that and I really want to enjoy that.
Yep. What are you doing now, like mentally and physically? Like what's changed? What are you doing now that you like wouldn't have been doing 10 years ago to try and be better and with all this?
I'm just really trying to talk to myself nicer. I'm really trying to say nice things to myself and recognize all the positive things I see when I look in the mirror or the positive things that I've done that day or that, you know, the impact I'm making on people, the time to really focus on what matters and to be nice to myself and put my energy to what matters and less to obsessing over what I look like that doesn't really matter near as much as I used to make it. But I guess the bottom line is I'm talking nicer to myself. I'm saying nice things that I'd never used to say.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. And I've seen you do it, and you're really like the last 5 years, like your weight doesn't fluctuate. You're not.
I used to.
Yeah. And it wasn't a big, like, we're not talking like you weren't fluctuating 20 pounds, but it was 10. And then if you went up 10, you weren't feeling great about that. And then you get down, but it would hurt real bad. And it's like, you kind of found your middle spot and you run a nice steady race and, not doing things like figure shows and
anything that super duper
extremes have helped keep you on a nice, healthy, steady track. And
I will never train anyone for a figure show again, because I think it's that detrimental to your mental health. And if that's your goal and you want to do it, go for it. I just have thought there's a lot healthier ways to obtain that, like 90% of that real extreme goal without comparing yourself to other people. And what do they say? The comparison is the thief of joy. Yeah.
Competition and doing things, there's a lot of positives to that. And I still like to compete in a lot of things.
Absolutely. I just think putting your body in comparison to another person's body when the judgment is subjective tends to be a very negative.
I have no interest in it.
Yeah. I don't have to worry about that. You would have done better than I did.
I have no interest in personally competing or training anyone in anything like that. I respect the sport.
No, I do too. I just think I like, doing a photo shoot with Mike.
Yeah.
I'll train 90% of the way there and really enjoy those pictures.
Sure.
And then we go celebrate someplace fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rather than spend $1,000 on a weird rhinestone suit and stripper heels that I'll never wear again.
Yeah. So, cool. My two cents. No, that's good. I've seen you grow a ton with everything and work on all the mental stuff and read a lot of books and, it's rubbed off on me, I've tried to, you're more disciplined with like your meditations and things like I'm doing a pretty good job with them and I'll keep up with it. But without you, I'd let it slip pretty quick. And that's kind of the glue that holds me together. And when I get away from that, I start to unravel, which more recently I have I'll get into my head, like, just the way my schedule is gone, we've had some little trips and things, like even like this weekend where we're going to go away for 2 days. And we just had a lot of things on the books, and coming off that fight that I had about 5-6 weeks ago, that was like a big dump. Like, it was awesome. I had this huge high, win this fight, trained for it for like 6 months. It was like the biggest thing I'd felt like I'd trained for in a long time, in a couple years. And then got really busy. We've got a lot going on here. We're planning a ton. Party. And then tried to jump into training when, ego lifting a little bit, trying to do some stuff when my body just, I have no legs and ass under me. I've just been boxing and tweaking some things up. And then I get into mine is more of like chronic pain. I'm broken. I'm hurt. And tweak my back. My knees start barking at me, and I have trouble like giving myself space. So like space to like let that not be in pain. I'll like, it's almost like a kid who picks at a scab. You guys will probably see me. If you guys listen to this podcast, you see me in the gym, you'll see me on that reverse hyper. Too much. Trying to fix it, and I'm trying to get it back. Like, I'm trying to erase like a mistake that I made. Stretching bands, doing like being neurotic about it, but not in a way that's actually like therapeutic or healthy. And I'm just figuring this out like in my head, I'm like, because I want to get it back, and I want, I'm losing strength, I'm losing numbers, and like So I'll get very, I like to really control physical goals, strength, things like that. Anyone who's like competitive in CrossFit can, I think, relate to that. Like you get a little tweak, you want to fix it right away. You might even keep doing explosive stuff on it. And really, you know, in the back of your head, if you probably just sat your ass on the couch for a week, like completely took all the pressure off you and then eased back in over a week, you'd save yourself a lot of time. And I probably would too, rather than messing with it constantly. And then I look 3 months down the road and I'm still kind of dealing with some shit from it. And I think a lot of it's because I had some early, you know, minor success with it, at least from a confidence standpoint, where it changed my body. I was competing. I was doing pretty good, or at least I was accomplishing my goals in the sport early on in CrossFit and doing things. And I started to tie a lot of my self-worth into it. And it's kind of hardwired into my brain, even though I've given up on, like, I'm not competing in CrossFit seriously or things like that. It's just like a pattern that's built into my head. And I know a lot of people who, previous people who've been on our teams and things like that. And you can see it. It's still that pattern is built into them. And it is with me. And I'll put it into other things, whether it's the business, things like that. And I'll get neurotic about it. And then I'll notice, like we were talking about, it's ego. So it's like no one really cares. Like no one in the gym knows that I lifted this certain weight 3 years ago. They just know I'm in class, and all they care about is if I have a smile on my face and I'm high-fiving them in class, and then they see me coach in their next class and I took the class with them, that's the most important thing. And really, when you get into a good rhythm of doing that one way or another, everything works out well. The best shape I've ever been in my entire life was, 4 or 5 years ago, when that's all I was doing, just coaching a lot of classes, taking all the classes, no pressure on myself, having a ton of fun. And it was easy.
Well, and that brings up a good, like you talking about that, because that's feelings, that's emotions, that's lack of stress.
Yep.
So it's not even so much like, yes, what you do does matter. So me binging is not good for my body, but the thought process happens before the actions. So me feeling like I have to be perfect and restrict promotes the binge. Me taking pressure off myself and relaxing allows me to enjoy life more and just be more moderate.
So the binge analogy would be, you know, the binging cycle on the weekend where you go bonkers on Saturday night, you're in a Kroger parking lot, and then all week you're frantically trying to work it off and you're not eating anything and you're doing that, as to me minorly like tweaking my back and then I'm swinging the reverse hyper and stretching bands in every different way, you know, for 2 weeks after that, which, you know, I'm
doing it right now.
Currently in the process of doing.
And that's why we want to talk about this. I mean, we're coming on and we're laughing, but like, I mean, it was a bitch to get here tonight. We almost called off because, you know, you're battling this stuff right now.
Sure.
So, and that's where, you know, we want to be real. And this is something that I literally, you know, I'm working through every day, and it really helps to hear it from someone else. But your first reaction, especially if it's someone close to you, is you want to tell them to fuck off. Fuck off. I want to win the Saturday class. If I want to try to win, I want to keep up with Rex, whatever, you know. But then you think about it and then you're like, yeah, that's really stupid. I can actually feel, if I just take myself out of what I can do and feel what I should do, I can feel the pace that I should go at. I've been working out for so freaking long. I can feel it. You can probably feel what you need to do if you take your mind out of it. If we teach ourselves how to get in shape and teach ourselves how to be intuitive, then tap into that. Your body will talk to you. You don't need to sit down and formulate a plan. Your body will talk to you at least in the intensity that you should be working at. And there's probably not any workout that you can't do, go in and do and modify a little bit or work out in a less intense way to still get this the desired stimulus without hurting yourself.
Sure.
It's the ego that comes into play. And it's really, really tough. It's really easy to sit here and talk about it, but to go home. And so now that I'm caught all my, like, kind of like, okay, well, you'll talk to yourself this way. You'll do this with food. Now I'm taking all that away. Then what I find I'm doing is obsessively buying things. And so that's my current battle. That's what I notice. Well, I obsess over things that we might need or planning, and I do enjoy fun activities, but it's another way to obsess. It's another way to constantly keep this going, where it at least helps me if once a day I'm like, go to your closet, Kate. Shut down your brain, go to your closet. It's usually around like 1:30 or 2, and I'm just doing something totally unnecessary. I'm like really deep into planning something or some idea that is just going to make my life more stressful. That's not necessary. And if I can just kind of shut my brain off and I'll say, all right, I'll just bribe myself. If you're still thinking about that when you get up, you can follow through with it.
It doesn't have to just be workouts. I mean, we know we're getting good at like not only identifying it with ourselves, and it's not like we're trying to like pick at people and talk shit or finding it, but we can see it when like, you know, people will do the same thing with like, they'll stress themselves out with beyond belief with like home renovation projects and act like it's a weather, like a hurricane hitting their house. And it's like, dude, you created that. Like you're ripping your house to shreds and then pulling your hair out and acting like it's something that's happened to you. And this project never stops. It's
well, and
one
I think
thing
that's part of why I got that rash. I decided we needed to repaint the whole house and get a special Murphy bed design. And we are still getting the Murphy bed. But it was just like I was trying to take on like three projects, and then we're going on our retreat for the first. It was too much.
It didn't make any sense.
And
you can create your own drama and stress and problems that way.
And 95% of the time we do. Is our own fault. 100%. And it's easy to place blame on like, okay, this person is making me feel this way, or my job is making me feel this way. But I know we own our own businesses. Usually we have much more freedom than we realize, even within, like once I really get down to it with my clients that have an employer, they have a lot more freedom and the ability to say, no, I'm done. And you just choose not to.
Sure.
You create your own environment, you know, from just like your daily routine. You know, I think you were talking about how you felt stressed with like a shortened day now. You're spending more time with the kids, and it's easier for me to look at your life from this point of view. But we all do things every day that waste time that we just enjoy doing. And it's probably actually hurting us. I mean, the phone is probably the biggest thing for everyone. It's just there. It's accessible all the time. We have to have it to text people back. But, you know, every time you pick it up to check your text, it's really hard not to start. Okay, well, for me, it's always sales because I have a shopping problem. You know, for you, it might be like scrolling to see, okay, what's going on with the CrossFit Grandview Facebook or this, and we'll pretend like it's work or it's going to help us, but it's really just hurting us. It's really just distracting us. So it's, you know, we just want to talk about how we've caught ourselves in these patterns and what we're trying to do to dig ourselves out of it. So it might help you, but this is tough stuff. This is rewiring your brain, which absolutely can happen. You can change the way your brain operates. You can change the activity of your brain. There's a doctor that kind of made these brain scans more popular, Dr. Amen. And so he takes a brain scan of each one of his patients. He's a psychiatrist. And then he creates a plan for them, which is primarily changing their lifestyle, but then also uses medication and rescans their brain and shows normal activity in clients that are severely depressed, reverses dementia, like unheard of outcomes, but mainly through lifestyle change and discipline of your mind.
Yeah, a book I'm reading right now that I'm finishing is called The Divided Mind by John Sarno, who I've recommended to different members who have had like a chronic injury that they're like, you can tell it's put them in a real tough spot where it's Healing Back Pain is his most famous book, which famously kind of cured Howard Stern from horrible, debilitating back pain, was the catalyst to bring me out of that initial, I had a 4-month back injury early on in CrossFit that I thought like, you know, I know some people have tweaked their back, like I'll never lift a heavy deadlift again. And I, you know, made that statement just like, oh, I just wish I could like tie my shoes or this or that. And then, you know, a year later I was pulling a 475 deadlift and I was fine. That book, and then I'm finishing up The Divided Mind, which goes into a lot of different things, like different manifestations of like your mind body. So, I mean, it plays a role in cancers. I mean, it goes into some really cool stuff, but a lot of it just behavior in general. So it's been a really helpful book and just like being able to zoom out and all of this, like when it really comes down to it, like you can accomplish almost anything or a lot of huge goals or grand plans in life if you're able to like conquer what's in between your ears and discipline yourself to whether it's like, you know, like I was in college, like I talk about, I think on the last podcast, like, you know, you're either being greedy or lazy. You know, I fell more on the lazy side of things when I was young. And then I became more of like a workaholic as I got older. And it really just talks like helps you like conquer your mind, you know, right. And the meditation and all these things are really just, they're ways to corral your brain from causing these, like whether it's neurotic behaviors or thought processes. Like you can't heal like an injury, say you hurt your shoulder, if that's all you think about and then you're messing with it. If you look for the pain, you're going to find it. You know, I'll tell people that with pain because I've experienced it. You name a body part on you. Like I've only picked like the hardest kind of most high impact sports that you could ever do as an adult, not even as like a kid, like Brazilian jiu-jitsu, boxing, competitive CrossFit, like sports that like you tweak everything up. But if you pick at them, mentally pick at them, you won't heal. You got to give those things space. But it can be like that with anything, a thought process. If you keep thinking about this thing or keep this thought process just rolling, you're never going to get over it. You got to give these things space. You have to change the channel.
And I think that is awesome advice. I want to take that a step deeper because I think we all will have the same issues come back up, even if you give yourself space. But the only thing that's going to knock them out is if you face the original fear that caused the disordered thought patterns. So like my original fear with my body image is gaining weight, being my mom. What do you think your original fear is with this pain? I know I didn't write that one down, so.
Yeah, it's hard for me to like have, I have a lot of like, you know, I got held back as a kid. I got cut from some sports teams that like just crushed me. Like they were like, they felt like losing family members, you know, like some really tough things like growing up that were like, I built everything, you know, like the way I saw myself, you know, I am a baseball player, I'm a basketball player and like, trying out for a school team and, you know, you're right on the cusp of, you know, they're taking 12 guys and they've cut 50 kids and then you miss it and, you know, you don't play sports that year and it's just like killed me. So a lot of it was like, I just had this chip on my shoulder, like I wasn't good enough, you know? So I think
that's your original. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, that's very common. I mean, it's very common for a lot of my clients to feel that way. And that's what I feel, but sure. Just put it on my body image where you might put it on. And this is a gender thing that isn't with everyone, but men tend to be more like, accolade oriented, where women tend to be more like, friendships, relationships, that's more their self-worth and then body image. And we do it more to ourselves than guys do, where I think, you know, that's where it's good to recognize that we are not victims in this. We have created all of the circumstances that lead us to feel a certain way.
Yep.
You know, whether it's putting too much emphasis on something and then being disappointed, well, there's probably not healthy for us to put that much stock into this. Our life needed to be fuller. We needed to have a broader focus in just to keep that in check. And it's something that, you know, we still battle with every day.
Yeah. Just trying to get better at it and at least make it less serious things. And it's like anything. It's like you'll get away from it and then you got to rein it back in. And I think we're doing a better and better job. Like if I do have a pain issue or something that I'm gnawing at, I can nip it in the bud in a couple weeks at the most, instead of letting it drag on like that initial one for 4 months, like it did that one time, you know, mental funks. It's like, okay, we're getting up early, no phones, meditating right off the bat, adding a yoga class in once a week. There's a million strategies, and maybe that's this podcast is running long, and that might be another one, you know, where it's like, okay, we're going to dive in into a full hour of chatting about what are things you can do to offload your stress. What are things we've had success with? And it's even the rhythm. It can be your daily rhythm, your weekly rhythm, or for us, what we found, like we'll burn it hard. Like, you know, people see us at the gym, like, Kate, you're only here until, you know, noon or one, but it doesn't stop. Like I go home earlier now, you know, I'll be home at 2:30. But I'm bringing my computer home. I'm on it, programming, answering emails, on the phone. It doesn't stop. It's like it's a nonstop thing. So it's like we'll work really hard for months, a couple months, and then we'll offload it with a trip. So that's what we like to do. You know, that's just an example. And I think what we do is we table this for another podcast and kind of wrap this right here.
Yeah.
But yeah, keep staying on this because this stuff is like, you know, we'll get back into like training and, you know, the open and all that stuff's coming up, and we'll chat about all that fun stuff here in a little bit. But this is, you know, these are topics that I think we're going to really stick with and talk about and speak to, because I can, you know, I heard a powerlifting coach. He was like, he did like conjugate stuff like we do in barbell. He's like, talking to this guy on the podcast, he's like, dude, I can write you a program right now that'll knock your socks off. It'll put 100 pounds on your squat, your deadlift, and your bench. He's like, I'll tell you right now, you're not going to do it. He's like, there's no way you're going to do it. You're not going to do it the way I write it, because it's going to be really hard and it's going to hurt. And it's going to just like, there's a reason why everyone's not that strong and this and that. And I just, it was such a simple thing. And I was just like, he's right. You're not going to do that 4 days a week for 12 weeks. It's going to bust your ass and break you in. Not like he couldn't physically do it. It's just like, you're going to hit a spot
exactly
where you don't want
to
do it.
And I used to think that all the time. I'd think, oh, well, this person has it easier. You know, mine was always body. Like they're just naturally thin. And guys, that's a bunch of bullshit, because I do RMR tests on people all day long. And my friends that are the thinnest naturally actually have a very low metabolism. And I'm here like, not crazy, but like plus 15%, where Brandon's exactly normal. If anyone's going to be like battling extra weight, it's probably going to be me. But I used to always think that I had it harder. And now I realize they just work harder than me. And really, once I start to wrap my mind around that, like if someone has something that I don't have, most of the time they're not gifted it. They're actually just working harder than me to get it. And that's the difference between having a victim mentality, they were gifted it, versus I can do that. That's empowering. Mm-hmm. I can do this. It's just going to be really hard. Do I really want it that much? Do a gut check. You might not. Then table it, because maybe later on you will. But, you know, really just being honest with yourself.
Life in the gym and out of the gym, most of that battle is going to be won right here between the ears. And I think we'll leave it right there, and we'll see you next week.